Well, good morning, girls and boys. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read some verses from the beginning of that chapter. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues or other languages. That's what the word means. Other languages. As the Spirit gave them utterance. May the Lord help us today as we consider these words. And even as I read them there to you, there sprang up in my mind 4 or 5 more points that I hadn't even thought about. But maybe we'll come back to that. This is a wonderful portion of God's Word. Pentecost was the second of the 3 great Jewish feasts. The Passover, then Pentecost, and then the third one, round about September time, when they marked the final gathering in of all of the harvest. Pentecost came 7 Sabbaths after the Passover. Remember, the Jewish calendar was governed by the moon, so anniversaries didn't all fall on the same date every year. Your birthday is always the same date. But if it was calculated that the day you were born was so many days after the full moon, then every year when that same calculation was made, your birthday would be on a different date. Doubtless your teacher will explain that all fully to you if you ask about it. Now, because the moon governed the calendar, the Passover didn't happen on the same date every year, but it was around about April time. Sometimes the very end of March, but around about the end of March, middle of April time, was the Passover every year. If you can get your hands on a diary that marks these things, you can look it up and you'll see when the Passover was in the year that's passed. Well, 7 Sabbaths from the Passover, there came the day of Pentecost. And it was a feast that marked, strangely enough, the wheat harvest. You see, Israel was a land with such wonderful climate, there were 2 harvests. And the wheat harvest was around about mid-May, mid-June, that sort of period. And so now, this day that we're looking at was about the end of May to the middle of June. That was the day of Pentecost. And as I say, it marked the wheat harvest. And that was significant, because this day of Pentecost, marked the beginning of a great harvest. For as a result of the falling of the Holy Spirit upon the people gathered in prayer, particularly upon the apostles, thousands were saved that day. Can you imagine that? It was the beginning of a great harvest, and there were many more converted to Christ as time went past, as is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. I want, first of all, to consider with you that the descent of the Holy Spirit was indeed the beginning of a great harvest. There can be no harvest in the Church of Christ. There can be no winning of souls without the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how gifted the preacher may be. or how attentive and earnest the people may be, there can be no harvest, no conversion without the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you see a time in the history of the church in which very few people were getting saved, then you know that's a time when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was not present in his fullness. That's the case today. We're not seeing the conversions today that have been seen, even within a lifetime. We're not seeing them today because the power of the Holy Ghost is not amongst us, as he was on the day of Pentecost and as he has been in this land on many occasions in the past. As we study the Acts of the Apostles, we will see many thousands of Jews converted. And at one stage, and we'll look at this when the time comes round, at one stage, it's not even put in numbers, but the converts were referred to as multitudes. So many they couldn't be numbered. And that's because the power of the Holy Ghost had descended and he was working mightily. And how mightily he was working is seen in that the very people who crucified the Lord Jesus, many of them were converted. What a change that was. From gathered outside the court of the Roman governor and shouting at the top of their voice, "Crucify him!" Changed by the power of God from that to humbly worshipping the Lord Jesus, obeying the Lord Jesus, and following his truth. What a mercy, therefore, was wrought this day when the power of the Holy Ghost fell down upon this people. Now, listen, there's very little knowledge of this event amongst us. That which this people experienced that day was, of course, unique. It was a once-off thing, marking the beginning of a new era in the cause of God. It was indicating that there was a fullness of God's grace and power amongst his people that had not been known in the Old Testament, but which was now the experience of the people of God. So this was a special occasion. But there have been many times in which the power of God has fallen upon the people of God here and there and in various lands since this day. But we know very little of it today. Now we should ask the Lord for this today. We should. I'll mention that again in a moment or two. The second thing I want you to notice is the Lord's sense of timing. See how the verses begin? Look at them. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Let me say something to you, boys and girls. The Lord has a sense of timing. He's never late, and he's never early. He always comes at the precise moment that he planned. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, heaven opened, and the Spirit of God descended. And that sense of timing by God marks all his actions throughout the ages. You see, you have a schedule that you follow here every day. Isn't that right? You know what class comes at what time and what follows it after break, after lunch. You know what's coming today. Well, God has a schedule. God has a schedule, boys and girls. And gradually he's working his way through that. Listen to these verses. I thought of them as this idea of God's sense of timing occurred to me. It says in the verse 4 of Galatians chapter 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." The Lord Jesus Christ was born at the precise moment God planned. And listen to me, very, very closely. That time was not the 25th of December. You might have heard that the 25th of December, Christmas Day, and that very name is a blasphemy. Christmas Day was the day that Jesus Christ was born. It's not. It's not. And the Bible tells me when he was born. At least what month he was born. Rather about September time. And the 25th of December has been made supposedly the day Christ was born because it was an ancient pagan festival which those determined to corrupt the message of the gospel adopted and said, oh, this now is the celebration of the birth of Christ. And if you know anything about what happens on the 25th of December, you will see it's still a pagan festival. Ask any policeman. Because the policeman knows it's very unlikely I'll get any leave round about the 25th of December. I'll be out on patrol catching the drunks who are wrecking the place. It's a pagan festival. It's not a Christian festival. And we should have nothing to do with it in truth. But, as I am pointing out to you, God has a sense of timing. And Christ was born in the fullness of time, the very moment appointed by the Father. And we have it again when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And then in Romans chapter 11, the verse 25, we read, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." Israel's in blindness today. Israel doesn't believe as a nation in the Lord Jesus. Totally rejects him. Same as they did when they crucified him, the same spirit. And they'll stay like that until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Until God has saved all that he plans to save out of the non-Jewish nations of the world. Like you, you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And there's a day when God will have gathered in all the Gentiles that he has planned to save in this age. And then he will return to act in mercy toward the Jew. Now, there's one more verse I'd like to give you that shows God's sense of timing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So, there's a time when God will gather together all of his redeemed from all the ages, and he has appointed the very moment when that will happen. Boys and girls, God has a timetable, and no angel can change it. No man can change it. No devil can change it. And that timetable is known only to God until he reveals it unto us. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion that no one knew the time, the day or the hour when he would return. No one knows it but the Father, and doubtless the Son as well, and the Holy Spirit. God in Trinity, they know the day that Jesus will return. It's already settled. God has marked it into, as it were, his diary. And it will come to pass precisely at that moment. Precisely at that moment. So, boys and girls, I want you to see the sovereignty of God. He governs everything and nothing happens outside of his will. We need to learn that. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. There are many other references than those that I have given you that indicate that God is working to a precise, prearranged schedule which He has drawn up. He has planned all things from the beginning of time. Now, my time's up. I don't plan my schedule very well. Sure don't. I don't get things done. But I'll give you one more thought that you can ponder until we gather again next week. The Lord displayed His faithfulness by pouring out His Spirit. He had commanded the 120 to wait in prayer until the promise of the Father was poured out. That's the term given in one place to the Spirit of God. He's the promise of the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, "Now you wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until..." Now we spent some time last week and the week before looking at the fact that the people didn't obey. They got distracted. They stopped praying. Chiefly, it would appear, at Peter's suggestion, in order that they might give attention to something that was not their business. Appoint someone to take the place of Judas. They turned aside from what they had been told to do. But even so, God kept His promise, and the Holy Ghost descended. You know, boys and girls, let me tell you, if God only blessed us when we were perfect, there'd never be any blessing. But God is not swift to mark iniquity. You read in the Bible of many great men, good men, going astray, but God didn't cut them off. Instead, gently, kindly, mercifully, lovingly, He drew them back again to Him. Like the father who was watching for the prodigal and saw him afar off and ran and kissed him, welcomed him. That's how it is with the Lord. And that's evidenced here. God still sent the Spirit of God upon this people, even though for the time they had been distracted, stepped aside from what was the will of God. Oh, never forget how good God is. And with that we'll close, but we will come back to the matter next week in the will of the Lord. Now we're going to pray. Let's close our eyes. So God, please teach the boys and girls of Thy kindness. We are so blind that we cannot see it. We cannot sense it. And we must be taught that Thou art kind. Lord, teach the boys and girls, each one of them, any not saved in particular, Lord, O God. Show to them Thy love, and let them know that should they spurn Thy love, there's judgment. There's judgment. Bless the school today. Undertake for it in all its needs. Staff and pupils and parents, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.